Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, and Arizona. From boosted parlays to in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET is what you need to win. Sign up today to receive a $1,000 risk-free sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit wynnbet.com and start winning today. We're brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Check out the new PropSwap.com and use promo code SGP on your first deposit to receive up to $500 in bonus cash. We're brought to you by Prediction Strike. Prediction Strike is the only performance-based sports stock market where you can buy and sell shares of professional athletes. Use promo code SGPN to receive a free athlete share with your first deposit of $20 or more. Welcome, everybody, to the MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. My name is Malcolm Bamford, here to take you through another little bite-sized section of MLB playoff action. We've been coming to you just about every day when there's been games on, guests galore, and more importantly, winners galore. Joining me tonight, as always, my esteemed co-host, he hasn't combed his hair tonight, from Houston, Texas. It's Moonaf Manji. Moonaf, how are you?
I thought I did this morning, but I guess not. Maybe I didn't put any hairspray gel into this morning. But yeah, too early to do that. Yeah, I'm doing well, man. How are you? It was, I don't know about how I'm feeling after last night, but it's fun baseball, right? It's MLB playoffs, obviously a lot of fun. But yeah, man, we're just grinding it through here every day and trying to get out some picks, you know, just handicapping this game. Closer and closer to finding out who gets to the World Series. I think we'll have our answer probably by Sunday. So definitely excited for that. You are in a happier mood this morning. You were telling me offline. Even when you're not smiling, I see you ear from ear. You have the biggest smile on your face.
Look, yeah, this is about as happy as you'll ever see me, Bruno. The ongoing saga of Newcastle United. We sacked our manager today, which I have never been as delighted as I am. But I was saying to Moonaf just before we came on here that he released a statement saying that he feels he was hard done by because from day one, everybody was calling him a tactically inept cabbage head. It just really tickled me. It just seems like an odd thing for a grown man to say to press, even if you're aware of it. Just don't say it because that's going to make us say it more. Now there'll be all sorts of T-shirts and merch with tactically inept cabbage head written on it. So yeah, that's put me in a great mood. As you say, Moonaf, it was a bit of a roller coaster last night. First of all, it was great sport. It was great drama. Whether or not your team came down on the the wrong side or the right side of it. What we're going to do tonight is just have a little reprise of what happened last night in those two games. A little bit of gossip about some Yankees news, and then we'll get into the two games tonight. We've got the Game 4 of the NLCS and Game 5 of the ALCS. But before we get into the playoffs, Moon, I've just aligned on the Yankees. They've extended Aaron Boone. however, your line says, extend Aaron Boone, lol.
Yeah, I think we were talking about this, Malcolm, when they especially got eliminated by the Red Sox, or even throughout the season, we were talking about how I think it was time for the Yankees to start going in a different direction. Can we say it was partially the players that they have on the field, or is it Aaron Boone's tactics of the way he manages or whatever the case might be? But I think most Yankee fans are not happy about Aaron Boone returning. You know, I think they did give him a 2 or 3 year deal, an extension, but I think that, you know, this is going to be a critical offseason for them. You know, if we kind of take a look at what their roster is overall, they brought in a lot more sluggers during the trade deadline, like Anthony Rizzo, Joey Gallo, that we had talked about. And then their pitching, they really didn't do anything. I mean, they tried to pick up, they picked up Corey Kluber at the beginning of the season, but, you know, he had that, I think, that one game where he had a no hitter, I believe. And then after that, they shelved him for about 4 to 5 weeks because he used all of his juice. But I think for the Yankees, at least, and, you know, we don't have to talk a lot about it, we'll get into a lot of the teams in the offseason. I think it's time for them to, you know, number one, find pitching that's going to complement Gerrit Cole, their ace. And I think they get Severino back. You know, he was there in the playoffs. I believe he did pitch against the Red Sox in their wild card game. But I think they need to get solidify their pitching. And I think they need to go out and get guys that can hit for average and make sure defensively they are a lot better. Depending on where they do with Gleyber Torres, whether it's putting him at second base or you know, where he excels defensively, I think that's step one. Joey Gallo, I think, is interesting on what they want to do with it with him. I mean, great first baseman or defensive first baseman, but the batting, you know, he led the league in most strikeouts this season. So I thought it was just worth mentioning that, you know, with the popularity that the Yankees are in the fans, and I'm sure we have a lot of listeners that are Yankee fans, mixed opinions, mixed feelings about the extension, but I think a very critical offseason for the Yankees.
Yeah, it's an odd one, the extension, because they do they need to change, and I think they need to change maybe philosophy as well as as well as the players. They do need some glue guys. They need some pitching. They need the players they've got to step up as well. Gerrit Cole wasn't great this year for maybe 2 or 3 different reasons, what the genuine reason or reasons were, I don't know. But yeah, they certainly need to step it up a little bit. So it'll be interesting to see how that pans out. Last night's playoff bets, Moonaf, we had Minty on. We will start with the Braves and the Dodgers. Braves 5, Dodgers 6. Both of these games had pivotal moments in them with regards to umpires' calls. I've had to catch up on a lot of this during the day. Braves 5, Dodgers 6. How did our picks go? I think the picks we had lent more towards the Red Sox game, but I know yourself and Minty both had picked the Dodgers without necessarily wanting to pick the -170.
Yeah, it's tough, right? Especially, I mean, I knew that they were gonna, well, I can't say I knew that they were gonna win because nobody knows anything. Like the Kunsig says, nobody knows shit. But
nobody knows shit.
You know, I think it was a opportunity for the Dodgers to come out and play well. They got down early. Actually, they got out to a 2-0 lead in the first inning. I think it was Corey Seager 2-run home run. But then, you know, Walker Buehler got into a little trouble. I believe it was a 3rd or 4th inning. It was, again, a miscalled 3rd strike that changed the complexion of that entire inning. And it allowed the Braves to tack on 2 runs, and then they added 2 more, and they took a 4-2 lead. And Malcolm, you know, we can sit here and talk about how bad umpiring is, and we can talk about how bad, I guess, referees are all across all sports. But especially when you get into the playoffs of the MLB, it's crazy how one missed call can change the entire complexion of a game. And it happened in both of these games last night. But, you know, long story short, I think you guys still have to give a lot of credit to the Dodgers for the way they fought back. Cody Bellinger, who had an atrocious season batting wise, I think he came up at the top of the the bottom of the 8th to tie the game up with a couple runners on. And then I think Mookie Betts, their best player, I think, in my opinion, not being biased there because he's on the Red Sox, I just think he's one of the great players in our game, got the clutch RBI double to get them over the hump. So I think you got to give a lot the Dodgers a lot of credit for fighting back and not going down 3-0, because being down 3-0 versus 2-1, it's a completely different conversation.
Yeah, it was just some absolutely key moments. Like you say, that missed strike call, which allowed Jock Pederson to put some runs on the board. And it's one of those that you just know it's going to happen as well. You, or you seem to, as soon as that call's made, just think, oh shit, something terrible is going to happen. And sure enough, I mean, it's probably magnified and it's probably not too, it probably doesn't happen. But obviously when it happens in a situation like that, it just gets absolutely magnified. Cody Bellinger's home run. I mean, that was a high heater as well. Yeah. It was way out the strike zone. But he managed to get on top of it and absolutely launched it out of there. Bellinger, I think, is due for a great season next year. He'll be someone who'll be getting a real bump in my fantasy rankings. So if you're getting any early drafts going, any way too early MLB drafts, then Cody Bellinger is someone I'd be looking to pick up. He's definitely going to outperform his season. And I think the biggest winner, Munaf, I'll take my victory lap now, was the stolen bases. Yeah. We'd said that the Dodgers were 11 for 11 in the postseason. They were 6 for 6 in this series. And we picked out three players, and two of them cashed. Mookie Betts at plus 875, it was. Okay. And Chris Taylor at plus 500. I saw the Mookie Betts one before I went to bed and messaged you, punch in the air. Plus 875. Was a huge price because the minute he got on base, they were looking for that steal as well. Mm-hmm. And not in a way that they were sort of casually approaching it or there might be an opportunity to steal. There was a focus. There was a real steely focus on nicking that bag from the first base coach in Mookie Betts. I think it was in the second inning. And then, so obviously I was in profit there and woke up and checked the box score to see that Chris Taylor had stolen one later on in the game as well. He was at plus 500. So when we get to our picks later on, the prices aren't up yet for that yet, but it's an absolutely valid tactic. I don't think the odds will have moved particularly. The books won't have adjusted very much. And Betts, Taylor, Trey Turner, and I think Gavin Lux will be another one. They've all been on that stolen base train so far. So another, if it's not broke, don't fix it. Yeah. Just throw a few little half-unit players on those stolen bases tonight. The second game, Munaf, you talk me through this one because this was an absolute roller coaster, and again a blown call by the umpire.
Yeah, this was probably one of the worst umpiring performances or calls I've seen in a very, very long time. Laz Diaz was behind the mound for Game 4 of the Red Sox and the Astros game last night, and it started in that first inning. I mean, the Red Sox benefited from a miscalled strike that enabled Xander Bogaerts to hit a two-run home run. Bregman came out in the first inning for the Astros and needed to score a run in that first inning, and they did off the Bregman solo home run. But then in the bottom of the first, I think Xander Bogaerts came up and hit a two-run home run to give the Red Sox a lead. But Laz Diaz, man, this guy is the calls that he was making last night about pitches that were hitting the corner that were strikes, he would call balls. There was an instance, I believe it was the fourth inning, where they had one guy on, and J.D. Martinez was up to bat, and it was a clear third strike. I mean, it was off the plate. He calls it strikeout, and then that those type of calls that we talked about with the Dodgers and the Braves game changes the complexion of the game. And it happened again in the ninth inning with when they brought in Nathan Eovaldi to hopefully throw out shutout inning, because the Astros did tie it up eventually in the eighth inning off of the first pitch that Jose Altuve saw in that inning. He hit a home run over the monster. And then fast forward to the ninth inning, pretty much. I mean, I think there's a missed third call strike again, a backdoor slider by Nathan Eovaldi that wasn't called the third strike. And then they always show you the graphic where the pitch is coming, if it hits the strike zone or not. And this pitch clearly hit the strike zone. And it changed the entire complexion of that ninth inning, where the Astros came up and they got seven runs last night. If you are a person that bet the over in the game last night, you should probably go out and buy a couple lottery tickets because there was no way this game was going to get over, but it did by the Astros scoring seven in the ninth inning. So hopefully you see some more consistent umpire play. I mean, you got to give credit to the Red Sox for the way they battle again. You know, the bats look like they seem to cool off. I think another huge shout out to the Astros bullpen for what they were able to do, because the starters have been completely dog shit for them, but the bullpen has been really good for the Astros in this series. Malcolm, I know we, you know, you and I talk about cricket offline, and when they do reviews for LBWs or when they challenge it, do you think that's something that should be incorporated in baseball? That if it was a miscalled strike, that the ump or the manager should be able to challenge it? Because we always see where they at the, if it is a strike, they always show you the replay in the strike zone that the ball hit the strike zone.
It's a hard one because it happens a lot, doesn't it? I think 21 balls and strikes were called incorrectly last night by that umpire. Now, you couldn't have 21 challenges. I mean, the game is way too long as it is, and they're trying to shorten it up. So even if it takes a minute or 90 seconds, there's an extra half an hour onto the game. So I don't know. In one challenge or two challenges doesn't seem enough when you're looking at sort of 21 missed things. You either just have to deal with it as part of the game. Like I say, it's sport. It ultimately doesn't bother me because I don't have a dog in the fight. You would like to get things done correctly. It works beautifully in the cricket. It works really, really well in the cricket. But again, they're only allowed, if they lose a challenge, they then can't, it's a bit like the NFL, you can't challenge again. So you then get incorrect calls that go unpunished. And you just want people to get it right, I think. Yeah. I know they've been trialing the robo-umps, possibly the Atlantic League, maybe something like that.
Yeah.
But this was another one. As soon as that strike for Ivaldi wasn't called, you just knew. You knew that runs were coming straight away. In terms of our bets, like you say, we took Boston in the overs was the general consensus, just following the trends. And I think the overs saved our bacon there. Mm. I took Boston to have more hits, which actually unraveled really late in proceedings, although Boston only managed 5 hits, so we weren't even particularly close on that one. So, yeah, we saved our bacon on the overs, but that was about it. But over the two games, lots of profit. Especially with those stolen base props. So we can get back into it tonight. If you fancy one of those stolen bases, get across to WynnBET. Download the WynnBET app now or visit wynnbet.com. If you sign up today, you'll receive a special risk-free $1,000 sports bet. WynnBET are live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. All the excitement of the Wynn Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. So, Moonaf, games tonight. The early game we'll start with, which is the game 5 of the ALCS. And we've got, let's have a little look. We've got some notes up here. Yeah. The Astros are at +105. The Red Sox are at -120. The total is at 9.5. We've got Framber Valdez going for Houston. We've got Chris Sale going for Boston. Unpack it for us, Moonaf. This is it's an ugly-looking matchup. I mean, this could be anything.
Yeah, and it's going to be which pitcher, starting pitcher, I think what I'm looking for is which pitcher settles in through those first two innings, because I think Chris Sale has not done that over his past 3 starts, including the last postseason game. We've talked about that, and he did better his last outing, but it wasn't good enough. And I think this is a game where I think both managers are hoping to get at least 4 to 5 innings out of their starters, because the starters were, I think, especially for the Astros, have not been doing well. You got a great start out of Nick Pivetta last night. I forgot to mention that he had a great outing for the Red Sox last night. But this is Chris Sale, supposed to be your ace for the Red Sox. Well, quickly go through the numbers. I don't need to go through the regular season numbers again because, we've already discussed that. But Framber Valdez here in the postseason, 2 starts, 7 innings pitched, 13 hits, 6 earned runs, 7.71 ERA, and a whip of 2.43. And you've managed to, you said that there's 3, he's had 3 bad starts in a row, and he gave up 4 earned runs in 2 of the 4 September starts. So, what do you say here, Malcolm? I think that which pitcher do you think is going to come out and pitch well for their team? I don't know. I honestly don't know. Oh, you're on mute.
Sorry. it's absolute guesswork, I think, Munaf. I would say neither. Or either, if you wanted to take something along the lines of hits or overs or total runs, or you can do that and just have really one pitcher blow up on your behalf, and you could get that over the line. Riding trends, unders on the total outs. That's something you've pointed out for about the last 7 days. And you're looking at Chris Sale's last regular season start was 2.1 innings pitched. And so far this season, he's gone way under. Same with Valdez, and the same with a lot of the pitchers that we named last night. So I would take that. The pick I got to was a run in the first inning, yes, at -130. There's been a lot of early runs. And again, you've got both teams playing for you if you make that pick. So it doesn't really matter which team, which pitcher blows up or doesn't start great. Even a little shake you start before they settle down. And there's been lots of early runs. So that was the one that I got to. But that total at 9.5 looks quite small as well, Muna.
Yeah, it does. And I think that, you know, again, the roulette strategy that we talked about yesterday, again, are you going to be the guy? I mean, luckily last night, it cashed, you know. I mean, it was on the way to not cashing, but you got lucky, right, last night in the ninth inning. But I think kind of going back to this game, I think this is the Red Sox really have to treat this game as if it's game seven for them. Because if they lose tonight, the next two games are in Houston. And it's going to be very, very difficult, I think, for them to go into Houston and win both games. So I think that you might see a very tighter shift tonight for the Red Sox. I think I'm leaning towards taking Chris Sale to go under his total outs issue tonight.
Yeah.
And we saw it last night that even though Chris Pivetta was pitching a fantastic game, he got the hook early. So and Chris Sale hasn't been as good as Nick Pivetta has been. So, sorry. So, again, I'm very interested in which Chris Sale we get, because I think that today is a day where the Red Sox need that guy to be the ace that they traded for when they got him from the White Sox. It's just been really tough for him because I don't know if he's still dealing with, you know, the whole coming off the Tommy John injury or whatever the case might be. But I think that you might see Alex Cora empty out the bullpen faster than usual because they do have the day off tomorrow. Yeah. And then they go into Houston over Friday, Saturday to continue the series if it gets that far. So I'll go with Chris Sale under total outs issued. And I think, Malcolm, I think we got to continue riding this over 9.5. And I love your pick of the run in the first inning.
Yeah, so they'll be the three picks. Yeah, cosign on the over 9.5, a run in the first inning, and under on the Chris Sale outs.
Yeah,
that seems reasonable to me. We'll move on, Moon, after game four of the National League Conference Series. We've got the Dodgers have got Urias pitching. And the Braves, we think, we're a few hours out, but there's no news as yet. And it looks like a bullpen day, Moonaf. I've got Max Fried down as going in game five. And I think Fangraphs has got this down as a bullpen day. And that's where most of Twitter and stuff are leaning at the moment. So Urias, three playoff appearances so far. 10 innings pitched, 9 hits, 4 earned runs. He's done okay. And against Atlanta, 2 appearances, 2-0 with a 2.45 ERA. 8 hits in 11 innings with 3 earned runs. So, yeah, and Atlanta are batting 205 against him. So not bad for Urias. Braves going with a bullpen day, so you never really know what they're going to throw at them. How do you see this one going? In fact, sorry, Moon, if I'll just I've got the prices. I've got the Dodgers here, really short, prohibitively short almost, at -155.
Okay.
And the Braves are round about +190, +185 kind of odds. So big price.
And again, I think yesterday we talked about if you like the Dodgers, just take that serious price because yesterday was at around +200. And now it's down to -115 favoring the Dodgers. So I think that -115 is still a great price for you to take. I think that certainly the Dodgers have the capabilities of winning tonight against the Braves. Julio Urias, again, we've talked about how he's been the most underrated pitcher for the Dodgers. he's been really good in the postseason here, Malcolm. I mean, 10 innings pitched, he's given up 9 hits, but 4 earned runs, not too bad. I think he just had that rough outing against the Braves in one inning. I think it was a relief appearance for him on Sunday. He gave up 3 hits, 2 earned runs against the Braves there. But I think, you know, him being at home, he hasn't pitched at home in this postseason so far. So if we kind of take a look at his splits for the season, he was 7-1, a 3.27 ERA at home this season. And this game is at night, 12-2 with a 3.23. So if you're seeing a minus 155 price on the Dodgers, I don't hate that. I think that the Dodgers got the momentum last night in this game. So I think I'm going to go with the Dodgers money line here tonight to even up the series.
No, you see, I'm going to come down the exact opposite, Moona. I just think the price is too big on the Braves. These teams have been way closer together than those prices reflect at the moment. The Braves have outhit them in all three games, 10-6, 10-4, and even last night, 11-10. I mean, it took a 3-run bomb on a high fastball in the 8th inning last night. Well, that was 3-0 in series over. Yeah. I just think they should be closer together. So if you're asking me to take a price, I'd take the plus 180 or bigger on the Atlanta Braves. As I alluded to earlier on as well, the other thing I'd be looking at is those stolen bases for the Dodgers. Absolute definite tactic, something they are going to carry on and continue. I don't think the odds will adjust particularly. And even if they do, they're still big price. Same with Betts, 8.75 last night. Even if they nip a point off him, it's a big price. So pizza bets on those stolen bases. But I couldn't get away from the Braves at those odds.
Yeah, I think something that we haven't really looked at, Malcolm, throughout this playoffs is the umpiring stats. For whatever reason, I think that's one of the things I did look at during the season, especially when we're handicapping these regular season games on a daily basis. So if you want to quickly go through the umpire assignments here, I can go ahead and do that and just
throw out
some stats. So, sorry, I'm still battling a bad throat here. But for the Houston and the Red Sox game, it's going to be Jim Wolf, I believe. That's what I'm seeing. Not much on the home road splits there as far as money line bets. He's 15-14. Favoring the home team by one game. I think the over-glaring part is the run total here, Malcolm. 18-10 to the under, so 64% to the under.
Okay.
So we might be, I don't know, maybe if we want to pivot off of that now that we have the umpire assignment in front of us. And then we have Mark Carlson going for the behind the plate for the Braves and the Dodgers game tonight. This one's with the ones that's surprising, 18-9 straight up towards the home team. Home teams are averaging 5.1 runs against, or sorry, 5.1 runs in games by Mark Carlson. Again, 18-9 straight up, 14-11 to the over. So 56% to the over in those 25 games that he's umpired this season, and then 18-7 towards the home team. So I know this is a discussion that we've had in the MLB Slack channel on our SGPN Slack channel. So, you know, just kind of throwing that out there. I think that's information that's kind of important sometimes because, you know, we talk about umpiring and how it was influential last night. Something definitely keep in mind. So, you know, you can easily Google that and find the stats about the umpires that are going tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Good stuff, Moonaf. I do like your, I love your NFL ref report. It's one of my favorites. Follow it up with the MLB umpire stats as well. Picks made then, Moonaf. Excellent stuff. We'll be having a look at those games tonight. And then what's happening the rest of the week? Where are we?
We've got
the Braves and the Dodgers tomorrow. While the Astros and Red Sox have their travel day.
Yeah, so we only have, after tonight, it'll be one game, I think, over the next two nights. Like you mentioned, Malcolm, that it'll be an off day, a travel day for the Astros and the Red Sox tomorrow. And then game 5 for the Dodgers and the Braves will go off tomorrow. So we'll talk about it offline, see what we want to do, but I think this is a good opportunity to mention that if you aren't in the Slack channel, we're always discussing picks and things like that in there. So to make sure to get in there if we do not put out a podcast tomorrow, but definitely I think we'll probably put one out on Friday. But yeah, that's where we kind of are, Malcolm. I think I believe by the weekend, we'll know who's in the World Series. So we'll have we'll recap everything on Monday, and then we'll have a huge World Series preview. Hopefully I can get Dave back on to talk about the World Series, and then we'll go from there. So I'm excited, man. We're getting closer and closer.
Yeah, echo what you say about the Slack channel. It's a fun space. There's some real clever people in there, and there's some right characters in there as well. So yeah, you'll have lots of fun if you get in there. Rate, review, like, thumbs up, 5 stars, etc., in all the usual places. SGPN.com. All the information you could possibly want on any sport you could possibly want to know about is all on there as well. Moonaf, you are not a tactically inept cabbage head. You are a very shrewd man. tonight, we're going to pick some winners. So enjoy the baseball. Enjoy your picks, everybody. We'll be back in the next 36 hours or so with more MLB playoffs. But thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you, Moonaf. And we'll see you down the road. Cheers.